Today we're going to go into the purpose of teaching the whole counsel of God. There's a reason that I really want to teach the Bible in its fullness. There's a reason that I want to teach the whole Bible. It's so that when you have the whole Bible under your belt, people can't come and give you a bit of this, a bit of that, and a bit of the other, and say that God wants you to be this, or God says it's okay for you to do that, or God is just so loving and forgiving, or that God has no mercy, or that God has no forgiveness, or that you can sin a certain way and God won't take you back. Because no one knows really when the mind, when God is totally reprobated and given up on somebody, unless God comes and tell you, like he did one of the prophets. I can't know that. I can think it. I can feel like you've gone too far. But I don't know. Now, I can tell if you don't have eternal life abiding in you, if you're a murderer. I can tell if you're outside of God's will, and if you die like this, you're going to hell, because the scriptures say it. Because the scriptures give us a line of demarcation. However, I don't know if, I can't tell you that if you live long enough, God will allow you to repent. Like some people say, as long as you got breath in you, you can repent. Sometimes the Lord let your heart be so hardened that he's through with you, and I don't know who that person is. So I have to treat people as if there is an opportunity to repent. But let's look at two prophets. One, the prophet Saul. Most people don't think of him as Paul. They don't think of him as a prophet. And Ezekiel. I told you to go to Ezekiel first, but I think I'll go with Paul, and if I decide to just skim over Ezekiel, we'll do that. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is getting ready to make a departure, and the people do not want him to depart from where he's going. And Paul makes some awesome statements in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. And Paul is being told, you're going to get hurt, or something's bad going to happen to you. And Paul says in his 24th verse of Acts chapter 20, he says, none of these things move me. None of what things move him? The things that he's talking about he's going to suffer. He says, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry or the service which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. I know you won't see me anymore. I believe in my spirit you won't see me anymore. I got to go. And they said this, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure of the blood of all men. It doesn't move me, Paul said, if I'm going to die for what I believe. It doesn't move me if I'm going to be bound. I got a job to do, and I'm going to do my job. I was called by Jesus. I wasn't called by Peter, James, or John. I was called by Jesus, and when he made me blind, and when he had me down on the ground, and I couldn't move, I learned how to be subject to the king. I repented right then and right there. And he told me there were many things that I would suffer according to his name. And therefore, because of what he said, I'm willing to pay the price. I saw the resurrected Lord. And I know that one day I'm going to have me a body not made with hands. I know I'm going to have me a body prepared in the heavens. I know that one day it's all going to be worth it, because I know who I'm working for and I know why I'm doing the job that I'm doing. But I'm telling you something, I am pure of the blood of all men. No man's blood is going to be required of me. Now, I had something to do with Stephen's dying. So therefore, he's talking about something different. Now, if you want to, you can hold your place there and roll back with me to Ezekiel chapter 3, because that's an enigmatic statement, an odd statement. What do you mean I'm pure of the blood of all men? All right, we know you hadn't killed everybody, Paul. So what are you talking about? In Ezekiel, the third chapter, there's an amazing thing that's being said. Ezekiel has seen the vision of God. Ezekiel has got commissioned by God. God has told him what he needs to do. And what God is telling him now is, this is your commission. He says, 17th verse chapter 3, son of man, I have made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word in my mouth and give them warning from me. From whom? me, son of man, this is your job. Take my word that I'm giving you from my mouth and give it to them. Warn them from me. I'm not telling you to warn them from the Assyrians. I'm not telling you to warn them from the Babylonians. I'm not telling you to warn them from Egypt. I'm the one that they need to be warned from. Isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus told the people, fear him. Now, don't fear man that can kill the body, but fear him that can kill the body and after put body and soul into hell. Fear God. Fear me. And he says, verse 18, when I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Now this is when the real man of God is on the scene. Not a bubblegum, not a cotton candy, not a soft sale. Not somebody saying with the people. When God is really giving you his word, warn the people from him. And when you warn the wicked man, and you, when God tell you what to do and you won't do it because they won't like you, then that man die and God going to deal with you. You should have never took the role from him. Listen to what it says again. When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, the same thing I told Adam, and thou shalt, and you give him not warning, nor speak and warn the wicked from his way, his wicked way, the same wicked man will die, and I'm going to require that your hand. Oh yeah, he'll have his own penalty, but I'm going to judge you for it as well. Because the fact the wicked don't want to hear it doesn't matter. Because the wicked don't care to hear it, and they want to fight you, it doesn't matter. I told you what to do. And that's what I mean. I need some men up in this camp. I need some woman with a backbone up in this camp. When I tell you what to say, and you know my word, say it, don't add to it, don't take away, don't try to dress me up and make me pretty. I'm already pretty, thus saith the Lord. I look good, I'm awesome, I'm all powerful by myself. There is no God like unto me. There is no another. I'm the only one. Don't try to change me to make people like me, because I won't have it. Verse number 19 said, yet if you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Ezekiel, when you say it like I say it, when you put it out like I say put it out, when you don't dress it up and make it pretty so people will come and join your congregation, when you do it like that, you delivered your soul. It's not your business whether they repent. It's not your business whether they turn around. It's your business to do what you're told. That's your job. That's your job. Next verse says it again. When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, if a righteous man, I don't care what people say about once saved, always saved. I read the Bible. I don't care what they say. What did God say through this prophet? When a righteous man, verse 20, turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block, when I lay a stumbling block, something to make him fall, before him he shall die, because you have not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he have done shall not be remembered, but I will require it at thine hand. What God is saying is when the righteous turn from doing that which is righteous, when the righteous stop doing and loving me, and stop reading my eternal blessed word, and I send you warning, like I'm sending Judah through Jeremiah, and I tell him, turn, 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 and you don't tell him, turn, 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 like I said, I'll let him die in his sin. I'll let him die in his iniquity, but I'm going to bust you. That's why parents don't do a good job today. That's why they don't bust their children when they need to. What I mean, bust them. Correct them, punish them, give them a spanking or a whipping when they need it. Take something from them, because they don't realize God is judging them. It's the same role as a prophet. In that home, you should be in the role of a prophet. You should be giving your children God's word. So what if they don't like you? When they get out here in this hard, cruel world, and they got to make a living and pay lights and gas and rent, and then they got to make sure they protect themselves from the wicked one. They're going to need that training. They're going to need the Lord. You can't always help your children. Sometimes you're in another city, your child might be half dead. What can you do? But that child could call on the name of the Lord and say, Lord, remember how I walked before you. Lord, remember how I did what was right. And Lord, if you take my life today, it's okay. I'm with you. But if that child has nothing in them for the Lord God, and you haven't trained them in your role, and you didn't warn them, Lord have mercy. You can start out when they're a baby telling them, and when they get older, you get scared.
They ain't gonna like me.
And you don't do your job. You're the same thing as a prophet that don't want to do his job. And when a righteous man can turn from his righteousness to do that which is wicked and dying in sin, and if we, the church of the living God, as we call ourselves nowadays, don't warn people in their wickedness that God would send them to hell, he said, especially to the prophet or to the one that's the teacher, I'm going to require that of you. Because I sent warning. I didn't have desire for that man to be destroyed. Well, look at verse 21. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, thou hast delivered thyself or thy soul. Y'all like that? That you all like that? This is God. He's fair and he's equal, is he not? Alright, now let's go back and let's see what Paul is talking about, blood in his hand. Because I think I spelled out what it was for Ezekiel, and Paul is saying the same thing applies to me. Now Paul said, my life I don't count dear. I don't care what happens to me. I don't count it dear. He says, I'm ready to die. And he says, verse number 28, and behold, I now shall... My voice got tangled. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, I am pure of the blood of all men. And what he is saying here in verse number 26, I have told you, I have warned you, I have warned the wicked, I have warned the righteous that was changing, I have warned those that didn't know God. I didn't give them a soft sell message. My message was, I'm warning people from God. I'm taking the thing from Ezekiel and showing that it fits me. Now, if you don't believe that Paul warned people from God, you got to read books like 1 Thessalonians. Read the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. Read Galatians. Read what he says in the book of Romans. You will see that Paul warned people and told them that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Told them fornicators, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor revilers shall inherit the kingdom of God. He told all the people in Galatians, I've warned you before that if you live after the flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Told us not to let fornication be among us once. Told us not to covet. It's idolatry. He warned people, gave them the whole counsel of God, gave them stuff in Genesis, gave them stuff in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. But if you don't know the scriptures, you won't know Paul's doing a magnificent job of quoting. But just in case you think I'm lying, go study 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and see how much of the Bible it covers. Go look at Romans chapter 1 and see that they go all the way from Genesis to the time that he was living. He gave the whole counsel of God. And I submit to you that I want to give the whole counsel of God. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. When God said warn, I want to warn. When God say encourage, I want to encourage. When God say be fair, I want to be fair. I just want to do God's will. When they put me in the box and they close it, or if my body is burned up in a fire from a wreck, I want you all to know that it's okay. It's okay. He did what he believed he's supposed to do, and I know he went away happy. Now, we all gonna go away, but what will folk think about it? Well, he said, verse number 27, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Do you want all the counsel of God, or do you just want about 4 or 5 pages in the New Testament? Or do you just want a praise song? Or do you just want a worship song? What do you want? If you want the whole counsel of God, you're going to wait on Tim Mary to give it? Even at 4 books a week, it's going to take 2 or 3 more years to go through it. What do you do on your own? If you can't read, well, cheap. Buy you some cassettes. Buy you some CDs. Go to the computer and Blue Letter Bible and listen to it. The Bible said the interest of God's word gives light. Lord have mercy. I can sound like my brother now talking about Lord have mercy. Verse number 28. Then he told the people, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, overseers to feed the church of God. What you gonna feed them with? You gonna feed them with the bread of the word. You gonna feed them with the meat of the word. You gonna feed them with the milk of the word. You gonna give them the water of the word to wash themselves with. You gonna feed them God's word. Why? Because he purchased that church with his blood. With his blood he purchased the church. I don't want to be guilty of the blood of man's hand, man on me, because he's already purchased it with his blood. Then you better be serious about teaching God's word. You're going to teach it and play with it. You need to sit down and not even pull that on yourself. Next verse says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." I know that out of the assembly of those that are supposed to be the children of God, people still will arise and they will come in, and they're gonna come in and not spare the flock. Why aren't people discerning? You think Paul was lying when he said it would happen? It's happening then, and it's happening now. Or it did happen then. It's happening then while I'm reading it in this particular passage. And it happened then, and it's happening now. Verse 29 and 30 says, "For this I know, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." They're going to do it. You better learn how to be warned of God and not let people make you think it's all right when it's not. Be warned of God when he try to warn you. And turn, repent, so you can be saved. He said the wicked can be saved when he turned at a warning. And the righteous can be saved when he's turned his back from God and hear the warning. Or he's getting ready to do something wrong. And the Lord can save him and deliver him because you were not afraid to give the word of God. Therefore, watch. And remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to, what's the word? Warn. Isn't that what Ezekiel did? By the space of 3 years I cease not to warn you. Look at this. Everyone, night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and the words of his grace, which are able to build thee up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. I commend you to God, the one that sent me to warn you, and the words of his grace, the counsel of God, that's able to build you up and make you strong, to make you be righteous, to help you turn around, to help you live the life, to build you up, make you something, and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. The purpose of teaching the whole counsel of God is to build you up so that you can be sanctified, that you can have the inheritance that God wants you to have, so that you can be warned from the wrath of God which will come on all children of disobedience. That's the purpose. What's your purpose when you talk to people about God? Is it to tell them the counsel of God? Or is it like, girlfriend, let me tell you, on Oprah, they said, if your man so-and-so, or if your boss so-and-so, man, let me tell you like this, you don't take no stuff like that off your woman. I'm just telling you, you need to put that girl in check. I'm telling you, my wife don't talk to me like that. You know, I'm old school. Where your counsel come from? If you're giving people the counsel of God, it's righteous, it's right, and it should build that person up. Sometimes it might have to snatch a few boards out. It might have to tear down a wall, but the ultimate reason for tearing down the wall is to put another one up so that they can be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Are we ready to move forward? Father, thank you for your blessed word. I ask you to help me and help those of us who believe in your word live, speak, and walk in your counsel so that people can not only be warned, but they can repent if necessary and be built up to have the inheritance that you've promised for us. In the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus, I pray.
Amen.